Well, it's Tuesday. That means we're talking about work issues. And there's a very interesting study out in the new issue, the Harvard Business Review. It's authored by Leslie Perlow. She's a professor of leadership and organization, the organizational behavior area at the Harvard Business School. What this basically says is that if employers force their workers to take at least one night off, completely off, no BlackBerry, no texts, no Twitters, that the workers are happier and they're more efficient as well. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning.
So how did you measure this? How do you measure whether a worker is happier and more efficient on the job?
So we actually tracked in detail how many hours they were working every week. And we found that the team that we tracked the closest reduced their hours 5 hours a week. But I think it's really important to emphasize that while this was about an efficiency gain, what really was going on here was that it was a predictable gain. So they knew ahead of time, just like in the medical world, when your doctors are either on or on call, but they're also off. And here for us, it was really important to try to take that concept of being off, predictably off, and make it comparable in the business world. And so what we were trying to do was to put that into the workplace so that it was not just efficient, but they were predictably off. And in addition, by working as a team to try to create that predictable time off, it forced them to actually think about how they were doing their work as a team and to challenge some very deeply held assumptions about how work had to be done and to realize things could be done differently. So in the end,
so basically, if they know they can't call their colleagues that night, if they know they can't finish up this project sometime during the evening, that means they're going to get it done during the daytime because they can't do it that night, right?
Absolutely. But it's not just at the individual level, right? So now as a group, they're having to rethink how they're working.
Okay. Also with us is Beth Koblener, author of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. So Beth, can we say, is this extrapolated out? I mean, she's talking about people who took 5 hours a week devoted away from work, so that if you take 10 hours, you'll be even more efficient?
Right. It's really interesting. And I have to say, it's not the first time this was done. For example, during the Great Depression, Kellogg's, you know, the cornflake people,
sure.
What they did was they reduced shifts from 8 hours to 6 hours. And what they found was quite fascinating, that people were actually happier at work. They were happy to have the shorter shift, and they were happy outside of the home. You know, they were showing reports back then in the 30s, early 30s, that they had more time with their family and friends. You know, the reports were showing, they said women had more time to sow and garden, and men had more time to hunt and farm. And so it was, you know, a real big radical shift that was going on. Leisure time was up, and productivity at work was up. So, you know, whether we're at the point now we're starting to evaluate output rather than actual hours worked, because, you know, for years in America, I think we've said the more hours you put in,
right.
You know, you show your boss you're there late, you're the first one in, the last one to leave. That's sort of the way to evaluate somebody's how hard you're working is how well you're doing.
Well, we have someone here who's actually trying this in the workplace. Grant Freeland is a senior partner and managing director at the Boston Consulting Group. Grant, your employees are actually trying this whole thing out of guaranteed complete non-work hours, correct?
That's correct.
And how has that worked out for you day to day?
Look, we've found that it actually creates value. But I would like to stress with what Leslie said, which is if we simply said to our staff, work less, you know, reduce the number of hours per day, I don't think we would have seen any benefit whatsoever. However, by looking at creating a short amount of time that was predictable, that had secondary effects. It meant that we had to think about how we did our work. And by thinking about how we did our work, we got smarter. But we also had the secondary benefit of working people less. But the working less, I think, is a result, not an input to this thing. It really is about getting some predictability, getting open communication, and then for working smarter.
Did you have resistance? Were there people who just didn't want to turn the BlackBerry off or who were sending secret text messages and cheating?
I think that all people who join consulting have a little bit of desire to keep working and working. So there were instances where people wouldn't turn their BlackBerries off and cheated on the margin. But once it becomes part of a culture, and once you actually see that good work can be smart work, we started to work around those issues.
But Grant, did you actually say to one of your employees, hey, you can't be doing that. You got to be doing your son's homework tonight.
Well, I'm not sure if I ever said son's homework, but we certainly said that you shouldn't be working on that time off period.
So, Leslie, is this, I mean, he's at a consulting firm. That seems like a relatively easy place to implement this. Could this possibly work, say, in a factory setting or a restaurant or somewhere else?
So I think that if you think at the essence of what we're doing, which is trying to create a constraint and have people think about how they're going to do it differently, it should work in any team. So as soon as we're having an opportunity to rethink collectively, the idea of predictable time off can be at an individual level. You put it in yourself and do the best you can to be more efficient. But that to us is just better individual time management.
Okay, Leslie Perlow is a professor of leadership at Harvard Business School. We also heard from Grant Freeland, senior partner and managing director at the Boston Consulting Group, and of course, Beth Koblener, author of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.